you can evaluate, is that something selfish? Because obviously anything you do will reflect upon self. But I can tell you without hesitation, people ask me, why does she get to talk? Why does she get to handle? Why do you let EJ? Why don't you let us run it? And I ask you to look at what happened when people just get a little teeny tiny bit of input. I know that I can depend on these people. I know that they will give up everything they have and have done so to try to accomplish what it is I ask. And then the next one is, well, do you just listen to ETs all the time? No, they don't. They're required to live in this world. But you know what? I wonder how many are going to turn around when the money comes. Just watch.
It's just like when somebody dies and all the relatives come out of
right. And then is when you're really glad for corporations. In both instances, it'll be out of their hands, and they can just say, it's out of my hands. And with family, it's, why are you here? There's a corporation. There's no, you know, why have you come in here to bother us? I'm telling you, corporations are still the best bet on the face of your earth. And I don't know how long it'll be that way, but as long as they're criminals, it'll be that way. And they'll have some pretty good rules for themselves. So I would listen to questions.
I have a question about Ed Cleary and Mike's involvement with the contract.
I was wondering why they felt so secure in doing what they did. Is the contract still valid, or their interest in it still valid, or do they have some private claim to it?
They don't really have anything, Nora. I will qualify that by saying that they were given copies, like anybody else would have in this room, and almost everybody asked for a copy of it and picked it up, the documents. But Mike does have many contacts in the Philippines, so the logical thing would be to offer it to him. I don't have to be my enemy to work with my enemy. And if he knew someone that possibly could handle these, because Mike, his name is Rose. He's gotten many aliases, but he did most of his hoodwinking around in the intelligence community by the name of Mike Rose. So Blinston is really quite a new one. And he and Two Gun Jack and Cleary all developed documents. Now, I don't know why Cleary bothered to do this, what I'm going to tell you, because he was 35 years a priest with a very large congregation. I'm talking about large. It was all entangled with the military.
That's a good cover.
So it was wonderful. But they developed their own passports, their own documents, making them priests, hierarchy in this Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church. And this is the way they did their traveling to the Philippines, etc. And as I have said before, the one Mike was really looking for was the very one that came to us. Well, I'm sure that by now word is seeping back that, my God, they really had something. Well, each owing the Institute so much for those trips and things that they produce nothing, it's better to drop out of sight. You know, I have nothing to say to those people. Well, bully for you. So, of course, they would tell you they don't know anything about it, they never saw it, but, in working with the ex-president of Korea through this particular contact, it became known that somebody over there took one of Hellenic Express International, which is us, one of our documents, put it in the system and was, quote, harvesting from it. It had taken a year to accomplish it. And this is where V.K. Durham went ape. She said, you guys have got all that money and you didn't even give me mine. No. Well, nobody could use those documents without. Oh, yes, you can if you're as crooked as the crooks are. They won't get hanged until way out here somewhere. But you better believe it. If you can forge and document passports, international licenses, priesthood documents, come on. All you Pollyannas, get with the program. Well, now who was over in that area that knew enough would dare to even begin to utilize these things? So don't come to me and tell me they haven't used them. I will tell you that they have not been able to make them bear fruit. Not that bunch. But they know they're real. And you'll be hearing from them. You've already heard from Gunther, who says, I knew that was all phony. I should have told you. Well, he was the one doing it. Him and Mike.
So they've just kind of taken over the contracts in their own name then, or?
I don't know what they've done, really, Nora.
Well, this changes the subject, but I have had this question for a while. At the time of Akhenaten, when they pictured the sun on their hieroglyphics, was that a picture of their idea of God, or was there actually a spaceship present at the time of Akhenaten that might have looked like the sun?
Both. Let me explain that. The representatives came across as light beings, and therefore the only thing they could equate to that, as an example, would be as if I told you, well, light, about the color and the form of what you see up there in the sun that truly is so bright you really should not look at it unless it's filtered either by atmospheric conditions in the evening and early morning, but like at noontime you should not look at it because it glows white hot or white light. If you actually could see it, it looks golden and orange and all of this. But the basic makeup of the sun itself is white light. And having equated God, the deity, with everything else, like you have to have light for growing. You have to have light for life. And the only thing that could be as an example was the sun. And this is the way the sun does appear, with these dancing flames. If you can get a reflection of it, that's exactly what it looks like. But the Brotherhood was present at that time because it was time to reintroduce, and I say re because this was not a new world. It was already an old world, and it was time to reintroduce the one concept of God, the monotheistic religion, if you will, because it immediately got turned into a religion. That was not the fault of one Akhenaten. This is the way that all along the trail they began to portray, to again establish their own ability to mislead, because this was going to pull down governments, pharaohs, kings. Well, we're not going to let that happen if we can avoid it, and they could avoid it. But it was not time to move further than it moved then anyway, because technology would need to come and all of these other things that would lead you to today. But the sun became their symbol. And basically, it's interesting to note that what it really portrayed was a circle with the energy within it and then the radiation. Not necessarily light, but everything radiating from this central core. Now, the question you should ask me next, and I'll save you the time, is it the only one? No. It is not the only one. There is a greater universal order. These suns, and they if you could walk in ancient Egypt right now with Akhenaten, you would be told, no, that didn't represent that little sun right there. That is only a depiction or a reflection of the one light around which the universe rotates. But you see, you also, in the same breath, have to explain that all of these universes are creations of thought and therefore don't exist even in their reality. So the only thing you have is a concept of mind. And the only way that human can associate with that is what they see. And what they realize gives life to other things. You will find Akhenaten, for instance, depicted with his snake. No. That was an entirely different symbol. And he would have been stuck with having to have this decoration all over everything. But he did not. He would not wear the serpent on his crown. And this is a tremendously interesting subject she's brought up. History just does not do justice. Well, it never does justice or truth to anything. But there is enough history upon which to base your understanding. And so the symbol of the sun, not necessarily the whole sun. Sometimes in the hieroglyphics you'll find half suns. And usually that will refer to your specific little corner. That will indicate that there we're talking about the sun as the deity, but only half of it, which indicates somewhere there is a hole. And so the overall thing to be worshipped would be the whole. These others would be honorary kings and stuff like that. Well, we're dealing now with the whole, because we're also integrating a planet which has been established, which we will call manifest into its physical form. It hadn't done anything wrong, so it has a right to evolve. And that's worth a whole month of meetings. Just, you know, I'm with you, man. I am so tired of these crooks and criminals taking up our life.
Bruce has a question.
Okay.
Valerie has a question.
Commander, is there a special state of being when a person should be able to see an angel? And then another question, how many brothers and sisters did Esau Emmanuel have when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago?
Well, are you talking about figuratively brothers and sisters or from his family? There was a little handful, you know, of sisters and brothers.
Yes, that's
right. All of which denied him. He was a heretic. Come on, you have made him a deity. Isu Emmanuel was born into a family. Let's not even talk virgin births and stuff like that, because Isu had older siblings and younger ones. And I'm not even sure anymore how many physical brothers and sisters he ended up with. But he certainly was not an only child. And at least one of those brothers did not become his friend until after the crucifixion. He did not die on that cross. He was taken to his tomb. He was removed through the back entrance. The Bible just forgets to tell you that with every tomb, there's an entry and always, every time, an exit. Sometimes these tombs were used for protection. If a villainous army were marching upon you, where would be safer than to go into one of these tombs until the army passed? It was not by any means a nice world back in those days. And now repeat the first part of your question.
Is there a special state of being when a person should be able to see an angel?
No. No. You use the term should. There might be a special state of being when you would see it, and I can explain that, but there never is a time that you should, particularly. So just to clear up that little bit of language. What you're talking about is the ability to visualize something. When your energy in your stillness, and it doesn't necessarily mean your body is still, because many people see these beings, and by definition only, they're angels, they're ghosts, they become visible holographs or holograms. So let's talk physically about it. What happens when an energy is coalesced? You may not be able to see it at all, because it takes up no space other than molecular or atomic space. But if your frequency comes up high enough, and this will happen in meditation, it will just move on up there. And if you are hearing sounds, these little electronic noises that are constantly there, even if you think they're not, if you focus on them, you'll hear them. The point is not to try to eradicate that. It is to bring your energy up to match it. And when you have kind of neutralized it, you'll know. But what will happen then is you will become consciously aware of another one, lower or higher. Or you may not even recognize that you're doing this, but you're sitting here and you're hearing a tone. And you don't pay any attention to it until it stops and changes tone. And he's, oh, what happened, you know. And now you are so accustomed to it, you don't even acknowledge it. But when you're in a state of meditation, that's what you're doing, is paying attention to those things and not the things around you. So you're very apt to bring your frequency up to the level that they are bringing their energy form down. And this is what we strive for, is this visualization frequency. Because everything on Armageddon Day is not going to be imaginary, it's going to be presented in its physical form. Because that's what you are, physical. So there is a particular frequency at which these entities move and have capability of coalescence. But there is no particular time. You can't order them up, usually. I guess some people can. But I doubt that many of you could, because I don't see any reason why you would even want to bother. Because the knowing that the knowledge and the entity and the protection and the guardianship is there is sufficient. And most often you will only see them as light form anyway. And they don't really run around with great big feather wings. It appears that way because they have such an aura, usually moving, that it literally looks like wings, because it's going to be larger through the upper torso and the head. I probably didn't do that one justice, but...
Commander, would you comment on the word solar logos? Does it ring any bell? Is it a valid term?
Sonar?
Solar.
Solar. I don't see that it has any particular meaning. Solar obviously means system or...
Logos means word in Greek.
Yeah.
So word of the sun, word of a system, solar system.
That would be as sufficient as anything I would come up with.
Commander.
Yes.
Susan is curious.
Just a short three-part question on Akhenaten and his relationship with Nefertiti and King Tut.
Okay.
And then two other short ones. Was King Tut's symbolic serpent head, crown, an actual serpent? And was King Tut's wife the daughter of Nefertiti? Does that mean Akhenaten was her father?
Ask EJ. Or you can ask Al. Not that it matters a whit. Obviously, Nefertiti was a beautiful, beautiful woman that has, through the ages, come down as being even more representative of a kingdom or a time than, obviously, Akhenaten was buried, and they continue to try to bury everything about Akhenaten throughout the history because that was the dangerous entity. Nefertiti was as perfect a projection of female as anybody, and Akhenaten actually was not. And through the years, he has become represented as a deformed entity. Don't count on it. You know, it depends on who's writing a book as to what you see. And a long, long time ago, it gets distorted over a period of years because you had someone coming forth out of the Pharaoh's line. And actually, if you don't want the world to follow along with this idea, you make him a freak of some kind, whatever you want to develop this image that people turn away from. Now, King Tut obviously came along, and he was very young, and he would go right along with the traditional anything they put forth he would have to do. So yes, the serpent on the crown represents a serpent. He did not even want to utilize the crown, much less the serpent on it. But he didn't have any choice. And you know he didn't have any choice because they killed him to get rid of him. And all of that is basically you're capable of going and researching, and by the time you put a few of these stories together or just read Nora's work, you're going to have that lineage marked right down. Now, I think what you're asking me is, did we actually experience in that time? Because there's obviously connections. And the answer to that is yes, indeed.
We meaning all of us.
We meaning all of us. We had a job to do then. Golly, we have a job to do now. And son of a gun, it's the same job, isn't it? Hopefully, we're going to do it from some higher wisdom. And I chuckle at, and my white eagle, this little crow. He says, well, 198 times is the only time I've had to do this. Well, this may be the only time you've had to do some of these things. And it has to be done in such a way that it's acceptable to the human entity. Because the point is to bring enlightenment to the world. And you have to remember first. And yes, indeed, those connections are just absolutely like the hand on your body. And sometimes you'll get shivers when you read those historical documents. And that's a good way to check out whether or not you're getting something valid. Every one of you have a system for realization, whether it be citing an angel or recognizing somebody just told you the truth. You check the size of your goosebumps. Mind knows. And when the goosebumps come big enough that it brings his hair right up, you know, you know. And when you ones go out and you bring back an offer, as did the Clays to the Ekkers, Nefertiti and King Tut in relief, in foil type of art, these are important things. You recognize the connection. You acknowledge the connection. And then you can set it aside, because we're all in it at the same level. There is no one more important than another. Every job has to be done. As Little Crow says, even if it's to sit out here and give audience so that we can do this. And people look and say, but my job's not important. Without you, it cannot be accomplished. This is why it is so difficult when ones come and, oh, I will do anything forever and ever and ever, God.